above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind a stone. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
The bride, amen. He thought of us. Let's all stand. Change over the service this evening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Amen. Good to see all the smiling faces. Amen. Amen. If you're not smiling, go ahead and smile. Look like you're happy anyway. Amen. I'm not going to sing right now. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord for all of his blessings on us. And Sarah and the boys are in Jacksonville tonight, and they're supposed to be watching in, and my sister and her husband and the kids, they're with them tonight, and Janine will be leaving tomorrow, and I will too, so we're going to go down there for a few days, so we won't be here Sunday, but we'll be certainly praying for y'all. We're going to be down with, we're going to go visit Brother Ismael Maldonado, and I will be preaching. Oh, well, good. Well, good. Y'all find out what I found out, so. That's good. We're looking forward to a good time down there. I got to meet Brother Ismael. It's been several years ago in Florida. I got to meet him. So he's a good brother. I appreciate him. Amen. And so just thank the Lord for all things. And want to say I bring you greetings from the Big Eagle. If y'all don't know who the Big Eagle is, some of you do know who the Big Eagle is. That's Brother Big Richie Douglas. Brother. So he sends his love and greetings to all of you tonight. And he wanted to thank each one of you for your prayers. And he's doing all right. He's quite sore. But thank the Lord that medicine takes care of some things. But God's the healer. But he's been feeling kind of rough for the last little while. And he couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And he's always having a heart attack the other morning. And he woke up and they took him to the ER. It was his gallbladder. So, y'all pray for him. He's got a rough situation. They told him for 2 weeks he can't pick up more than 20 pounds. And he said, well, how am I supposed to do that? I tote 400 pounds every day. So that is a conundrum. He's going to make it. The Lord will take care of him. But we appreciate Brother Richie. We love him. And he's been a real part of our lives, all of our lives. And he's been real close to me. He's a real buddy. So. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go look into the book of Haggai, one of the minor prophets. And we're going to speak on a little thought tonight. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, just read one verse there. But before we begin, let's just all speak to the Lord tonight. How many's got a need? How many's looking for something from the Lord tonight? I just don't want it to be another service in the house of God. Just Lord, just I just want to be cleaned out from the top to the bottom. Lord, I whatever needs to be done, Lord, I want to be molded and made in your image. And Lord, just break my will that thy will be done. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you another time, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, together with those of like precious faith, Lord. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you've called us into this glorious gospel, this glorious light, Lord. Father, if it wasn't for you, Lord, we could be walking in gross darkness. Now, Lord, where would we be without you? And Father, we just want to say we love you and we appreciate you, Lord, that you brought us this far, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you come and speak to us tonight. Help us get out of the way, Lord, that you may speak to us. Speak to us from your word, Lord. Give us what we have need of. Yeah. Lord, we just commit all things to you for the ones that have needs. Lord, we thank you for bringing Brother Richie through his surgery, Lord, and medicine was able to figure out what was wrong with him, why he was feeling so bad and couldn't figure out what was going on. But, Lord, you have all things in control. You work everything out perfectly. Lord, you're never behind. You're always on time. You know when things work out. Lord, just for us to put our trust in you. And Father, we just commit each one, Lord, the ones that are watching in tonight, Lord. Lord, all the ones that have needs. Lord, each hand that was raised, Lord, you see what's on each heart tonight, Lord. Lord, let us just get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you may speak to us tonight. Lord, I'm needy. Lord, I didn't come to church just to be here. Lord, I come to receive from you. Lord, just help us tonight, we pray. We commit all things tonight to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Haggai chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshadech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. But he that earneth wages, and he that earneth wages, earn wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Go to the mountain. And bring wood and build the house, because that's the house we're building. And I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, thus saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains, and upon the corn and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor all the labor of the hands. And this is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I was looking at something the other day, and I was looking at some things that brought me to this scripture. And we know that when the children of Israel, they came out of Babylonian captivity, we know that they came back and they were given the word to rebuild the temple. And we know that, you know, Cyrus was king when he allowed when things opened up so they could come back in to build the temple. They were actually able to come back into Jerusalem, which was the promised land when they came out of captivity. And when they came back, you know, we know that Nehemiah and Ezra were there. And, you know, they had a desire to rebuild the temple and were able to do some things. And we know that the work was hindered after they started. We know that we know from the story that the Samaritans, you know, which were a mixed group, they wanted to come in and they wanted to help them rebuild the temple. But, you know, Zerubbabel and them, the different ones, the elders believed that, no, it's for us to build. The Jews were to rebuild the temple because that was what God had given them, and that was their work to do, not anybody else's. And not to have a mixed multitude, but to have those that were fully Jews, that were fully believers, to rebuild the temple. That was their work to bring that back. And we know that, you know, they had a lot of hindrance to go, and we know through the scripture and studying the 70 weeks of Daniel, we understand how difficult it was for them to rebuild, and the prophecy was given to them how they would have to hold a sword and a trial, and they would have to work and look over their shoulders to watch, because they always had to keep an eye on the enemy all the time as they were trying to rebuild this thing. And it was a struggle for them to rebuild that temple, but they rebuilt that temple. And, you know, as they were building it, they had a lot of problems. And we were reading here in Haggai when he talks about when they had so much trouble, but when Darius became king, then things opened up some more, and Darius helped them with some things and everything, and that they had to keep trying to energize the people to get to behind the work to do what God had given them to do, because we know that God sent two prophets from this reading. We know that Haggai came and Zechariah was the other one that was really the spearhead behind stirring up the people to come back into building the temple. And this is what Haggai was speaking of when he's writing this to Zerubbabel and Joshua, is because when he sees that the people, the condition that the people are in, and he begins to speak there, and he says, the Lord says that the people say that it's not time to build the house. He said, the people say that it's not time, but God is standing there and he's looking and he's saying, but you're living in your nice house. You're living in a walled house. And he said, but the house of God, what lays in ruins. And then as you see that, you're building up things to yourself, but you don't see the condition that the house of God is in. And then you say, but now is not the time to do that. And he says, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, to the Israel, to speak unto them and tell them. He said, is it now time? He said, can you say that it's not time when you see the utter ruin of the house of God, but the house that you live in is all full of comfort? You have all these comforts to yourselves, but you've not spent one dime, you've not spent one moment trying to rebuild the house of God when God told you that you were supposed to go back. And, you know, even in the chapter 2 of Haggai, you know, he brings it back to the people and he said, who saw the former glory of the house? Who was the one that saw the first temple? And he said, remember, he said, but the word of the Lord come that the second temple would be greater than the first temple. The glory of the second one would be greater than the first. And, you know, he kept putting the vision before the people that it's time to rebuild the house of God. And as Peter tells us, we are a spiritual house to be built up, to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. And we see how Haggai was there trying to stir up the people to get into the work of God, because this is the place where God's going to meet you. This is what God wants. This is what God requires. But he tells them, said, listen, he said, y'all have received all these things. And he said, but you've not taken any time. You've not put anything into the work of God. You've not done anything to help the work of God. And he said, you have labored, but it's not come to anything. He said, you work and all these other things that he talks about here. He said, everything that you've put your hands to is because of what you've done. Then he says, consider your ways. Why? Because you've sown, and it's all into the things that fill your pocket, that are really just to your own lust, to your own desire. He said, but you've not put anything into the house of God. And he stands there and he says, consider your ways. And he said, look, he said, because all that you've had and all that you've done and everything has went wrong in your way. He said, listen, that's the reason that you're standing and sitting in the midst of a drought right now is because you failed to be at the house of God, because you failed to prepare and go forward with the house of God. And you know, the thing is you and I are spiritual, or a spiritual house for God. We're God's dwelling place. And not just meeting here, but it's where you meet God every single day of your life. What have you put aside to meet God and for God to meet you, to have communion? And so when he begins to speak, I mean, he talks about everything that they have had their hands to has failed. He said, you desire, he said, you're trying to eat and it never comes to naught. He said, you try to drink and you're not, and you're never, ever satisfied. You just continually be thirsty. He said, you're always cold. There's everything wrong. Why? Because you have failed me.
Yep, right,
man. Why? Because if you want anything from God, then you give God what you have.
Right.
Why? Because if you want God to bless you, then you've got to follow what God says.
Amen.
And he said they have gotten to a point where it was just such a terrible condition that they had gotten into that you see that how terrible everything was around them. And yet God was trying to call them back to the work of God, to trying to call them back to build. This is the time to build the house of God. And brothers and sisters, I wanted to say something tonight. I'm going to be a mess tonight, but that's all right. I'm going to preach anyway. But let me tell you something. After the messages, the last few messages that we've heard across this pulpit, I tell you, it's the reason we have to take a more earnest heed to what we've heard, and not just allow things to just to be common or everyday kind of things. But we've got to have a stirring to change us and change who we are, and not just allow it to be another service where we've just come and just heard the word of God and say, "Well, brother, that was good," and then we don't ever change.
Right.
Why? Because what has been preached to us is a life-changing message. And the thing is, if it's not changing you, then we need to go back, because we've missed what has happened. And I tell you, something has stirred me. Why? Because I have failed God. And it may just preach on me tonight, and that's okay, because I need it. Because you know what? I don't want to be the same Aaron Roberts that come in here tonight. I don't want to be the same Aaron Roberts that was here a year ago. And from a year from now, I don't want to be the same Aaron Roberts. If I'm the same one that was a year from now and there's been no change, then you know what? Then Lord, do something with me, because I don't need to be this. The biggest problem that I have is Aaron Roberts. It's the one I wake up and look in the mirror at every day. And yet there's times that, you know, things are said. And you know that Brother Branham had problems with things that people, that because you've got to preach the word. The five-fold ministry has to preach the word. You're just like all of the prophets, the different ones, everybody's been given a ministry, and they've been given a part to do. And you know what? It's not always fun. It's not always pleasant, but it's what God has given you to do. And Brother Branham's speaking in the message, "He that is in you," I was listening to it today. And you know, Brother Branham is speaking because the message that he preaches right before this, and it's not up there, but one of the message that Brother Branham preaches right before this is souls that are in prison now. And he begins to preach, and you're talking about the condition that the world is in, the church is in, and how everything is in right now. And he's like, really? Because when you start to see, as Brother Branham was talking about, when you see that foolish virgin is coming for oil, he said, realize, he said, it's already over with. When the foolish virgin, they're coming to the wise with the oil, he said, realize, he said, it's all over with, because there's no oil for them to receive. The oil has been cut off. There is no going back, because when it comes comes to the point when they've heard the voice said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." When that voice went forth and to those people, when they turned it down, they're in outer darkness. There's no way to come back. But only those that have the oil are able to go, because they were able to raise up and trim their lamps and go in. And that's the only ones that are going in. Nobody else is going in. And when he gets into this point, and you know, he Brother Branham, you know, he's dealing with this struggle, because he calls a brother's name. And I think Brother Wade mentioned that. And he's talking about, you know, he calls this brother's name. And you know, when he was so upset. But, you know, Brother Branham, when he's speaking here in this message, you know, he said, it's hard to imagine what's on a man's heart, because, you know, you're trying to do the best that you can. But he said, you know, I realize some people are going to take the wrong slant to this. He said, they're not going to accept it the right way, because a lot of people turned Brother Branham down, but it wasn't what Brother Branham was saying, because he had it from what he said. He said it was from a heart of love, because he was saying what God had given him to say. So he was only saying what thus saith the Lord. He wasn't trying to, he said, I know my friends are going to turn away from me. He said he knew it was going to break churches and all kinds of things. All the problems that it was going to create. But you know what? He had something that was down inside of him that was burning inside of him. You know, he said, he talked about, he carried that burden with him. And, you know, he said, I would go to the mountains and pray. And he said, I couldn't get rid of that burden. He said, I'd go to the seaside and pray, and I couldn't get rid of that burden. And there was something. Why? Because there was something that God wanted him to do. And he said he kept battling with that burden. But when he began to preach that message, then he realized, you know, that burden lifted off of him. Right. And it was something that, why? Because it was something that God wanted him to express. And it was so hard. Right. And Brother Brown says, he said, how can you say it without hurting? How can you say these things without hurting people's feelings? How can you, and it not take effect? Because, you know, when you say these things, he says, how can I say it to show the people that I'm not picking on them, that you love them? How can you be strict and firm and yet be loving? He said, oh, how you're going to present it. And then woe unto me if I don't present it. See, and there you are. See, no wonder it keeps you nervous and tore up. So when Brother Branham's trying to express something to the people, he's only doing what God wants him to do, but he's showing it from a way of love, that he's showing what the position, the condition the world's in. This is what's going on. This is what we got to do. And it's just like he said, when you sow those people, when they're coming to the falls, and there's somebody's in a little John boat or whatever, and realizing they're not going to survive the rapids, they're not going to survive. And all you can do is stand out there and yell at them. It's not because you're mad at them. You're not trying to pick on them. He said, but it's from a heart of love. You're trying to tell people the condition, where you're at. And listen, you don't realize what danger you're in. You're not going to survive. You're not going to make it. And so when you come to that, see, that then it becomes a very difficult position to be in, because you've got to preach the word, but you realize people are not going to accept it the way you preach it. And then, because people, who was it? Was it Jeremiah that said, you know, because he said, well, you know, I'm just not going to speak the word of the Lord anymore. Why? Because everybody turned him down. The more he preached, the more opposition that he had, the more problems that he had. And then he finally just said, listen, I'm not going to speak in the name of the Lord anymore. He said, I'm just tired of speaking. But he said, then the word of the Lord came to him, and he said it was like fire shut up in his bones. Why? Because it was something that he had to say. And you know, sometimes we get to the point where, you know, we think, well, somebody's just picking on me or whatever. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the Lord speaking to you, and he's trying to get your attention. But the problem is that sometimes, as we'll read later on, sometimes our problem is our stubbornness is our problem, and that's what gets us in trouble, because we get hardened by things and we get offended by things, and that stops the move of God. That's what stops the move of God in our life, is because we've gotten offended. And sometimes we like to get behind that, and we just like to hide behind that little pet feeling or whatever, our little complex, and it holds up the work of God. It hurts the family, it hurts the church, and we don't realize how much danger we are when we have that happen, and we don't do anything about it. Now, this is from the message, the Blushing Prophet. And it says, listen, it says it ought to be the happiest time in the world to the Christian, for the Christian. Times are going to change. The old's going to become young. Oh my, death's going to flee away. Sickness will be no more. No more prayer meetings for the sick. No more prayer meetings for the lost. But God shall come and take the elect from the four winds of the earth and shall gather them under His own wings, and we'll live and reign with Him forever in His heaven. Oh, brothers, sisters, friend of mine, if you're not prepared tonight, may you be prepared at this hour. I give you an invitation to come to Christ Jesus tonight and receive. You that's been different, you that know that you're not where you should be with God, I invite you to the altar with myself. I invite every one of you to come here, and not only to say, but to stay here until God has cleansed your soul from everything that's unlike Him, until you can go out of here a new person, not with a corn plaster on, but go out of here with a blood transfusion that purifies your blood and gives you new life and new hope. Go out of here with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go out not shouting, not dancing, not so much. Them things are all right, but they all belong in the church. They belong in the Bible. They all belong in the Bible. But what I'm talking about is the Holy Ghost, God's love. Now, Brother Bram continues on here, and he talks about this young man that came to him, and he said his mom had a desire to have a closer walk with God. He said, I met a man, young man, who's talking the other day. They said, oh, honey, to her boy, come here. I want you to look. I have oil in my hands. Well, I have too. It's here. I've been sweating. Now, he said, I've got oil. So she's talking about, I've got oil in my hands. Said, what do you think of that? And the boy looked at his mother and said, Mother, I want to ask you something. She just wanted him to pray that she'd have a closer walk with God. He said, when the oil come in your hand, did it take away all your condemnation? Did it give you a sweet experience with God? Well, no, then I'd leave it alone. That's it. Oh, the world, the religious world, the Pentecostal people are all looking for fantastics. The world, the educated so-called world, the denominational world, is looking for some great solution that they can embed their denomination and get more members, a million more in 44. And he continues on about the nations and everything, the Pentecostals. He said, but it comes by a surrendered life to Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anything short of that, it's wrong. Now, I just, you know, because it really struck me when I read that. Because, you know, it is supposed to be the happiest time in the world for us. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is the great and terrible day of the Lord. And we ought to be happy. And we are blessed above all measure. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you're not there, as he was talking to that son was talking to his mom, if you've not had that sweet experience, if you've not had a life-changing experience with God, then he said, you need to come now and come to the altar. You don't need to wait, and don't second-guess yourself, because you know what? If something is hindering you, if something holds you back, whatever it is, you know, because as Brother Dale's always said, I'd rather seek God every day of my life and know that I've had it the whole time than try to guess whether I had it and play around with God and realize I didn't have it, and all of a sudden one day I realize I'm on the wrong side. Because you know what? It's a late hour. We can't play with church anymore. You can't play with God. You don't play with His Word. It's time to change. So we've been called to that. It's a time that we need to understand what needs to take place. Because not just having an idea or reading books or coming to church or all that kind of stuff, but you've got to know that you've got to know that you've got to know. You've got to have a stake driven down, and where all the storms of all the hell, all the devils in hell can't shake you from it. You know where you're standing. You know what God has done for you. You know that you're a temple of the living God. He said, if it didn't bring you to that, why? Because it's so easy to fall into a trap where people have had some kind of emotional experience, where something has taken place in their life, and then they think this is it, and they drive it down, and all of a sudden, the next time you see them, they're out back in the world, or they've fallen back into the same traps. They're same back into the same thing that they were, that they came out of, and they never can get victory over it. Why? Because they're going right back to it. Why? Because they've not reached the place that they need to, that they have not stayed. As Brother Branham said, you got to stay there until something changes, until you know that God speaks to you, that God has done something in your life, that He has filled you with the Holy Ghost, that He's changed your life. But many people, they've not gotten to that point. This is from the Message. The Queen of Sheba, Brother Ram says, you know, faith cometh by hearing, talking about it. And I want you to listen to some of these. He said, we don't do enough talking. This is number two. He said, we don't do enough talking about the good things of God. Tonight, the Church of the Living God is took up too much on talking about television programs, some kind of a ball game, or something on that order. We should be testifying to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and let your whole life be wrapped up in that. Because many times people, you know, they get so wrapped up in so many other things outside of the Word of God, outside of the gospel, that when you try to talk to people, they don't know anything. We've gotten so lax that we spend more time, and it's okay to have entertainment. It's all right to have enjoyment and all those type things. But the problem is we find people that claim to follow the message and claim to be a Christian and claim to be a believer. But you know what? They have better attendance at a ball game or at Walmart or at work than they do in the house of God. Right. Now, Brother Branham said one time, he said it was all right to miss work, but he said don't miss the house of God. But you know, there's a lot of people, you know, they like that little gold star or whatever they get at work, you know, their little bonus or whatever they get, the pat on the back. They got perfect attendance. Whatever you get for having perfect attendance at work, but I tell you what, you know what? This is a whole lot more important than being perfect and having perfect attendance at a job, because your job's not going to last forever. Some people, they sweat and toil and they do everything they can. And as they say, people are company people. You know, they do anything in the world for the company. But the problem is the company don't give you anything in return. You know, the thing is you know, you can give everything that you have and pour your heart and soul into a job. And the problem is the first time they change management, you're on the street before you can blink your eyes. They don't care. You can do everything you can to help people out, and the next time, you know, there's all of a sudden you're pulling four or five knives out of your back. You don't get no respect. But people are so wrapped up in working a job. Now we gotta work to live and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? It's not the greatest thing in the world. Working a job ain't gonna put you in the rapture. It ain't going to get you anywhere. All this stuff's going to pass away. This is from the Message. Second Hand Road, Brother Bram says. He's talking about his mom. He says, and now here's, it may hurt just a little bit, but my mother used to give me, when we was poor, said we used to eat cornbread and with grease and meat skins and everything. You know, she said, and every Saturday night, I know we used to have to take a dose of castor oil. He said, I can't stand it today. But Mama used to say, I'd hold my nose and Mama, it makes me so sick, I can't even bear it. She said, if it don't make you sick, don't do you any good. So maybe that is with preaching the gospel. If it doesn't stir you up a little bit, and I'm afraid today that many of us that are claiming great things of God are only carnal impersonations. Someone else, the way they act in the way they do, and you try to put the same thing on yourself and act that way. when Christianity is not a mimic, it's a life. Christianity comes by a birth that when you're born again of the Spirit of God and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away and all things become new. Watch. So when he's speaking of these things, you know why? Because when the Word of God... Why? Because people get so wrapped up in all these other things that are around us. But the problem is sometimes the Word of God has to come and correct the situation and be stirred up by it. Because sometimes you wonder where people are and what's happened to people and why the condition that they're in. About the joke, I know that's not a place to joke, but it illustrates the point, but they were talking about the people that sat in the church for so long that when the move of God come by, they just sat there, had sat there in the church for so long. When the move of God took place, all of a sudden they had a dust storm in the church because all the dust had settled, was shaken off the people because they had sat in the church for so long. They had dust settled on them. Why? Because they had never had a move of God. Why? Because they had just sat there and know, well, we just come in and we just sit down and we just do our little religious ordinance and then we leave. But they don't know how. But they've not had a move of God. And then, God can be moving all around them and they don't have no idea what's going on. They come in and they walk out the same way. And when the brothers have called for people to come up, and when Brother Ronnie and different ones are here, and when they come, and the Lord's moving, and people are just like, well, they're still sitting there. Well, then what? See, God can't. God can only move. He can only call. You've got to respond. If you don't respond, God can't do anything else. But are you building up a house of God, a house where God can dwell, a house that God is pleased in, a house that God can be glorified in? This is from the Message, A Deceived Church by the World. Brother Brown says, for God can keep anyone and use anyone that will follow after him, for it's God's business. But when we turn aside away from the things of God, then God cannot use us any longer. When we'll walk steadfastly after the commandments of God, then we'll stay in the pages, when we stay on the pages of the Bible and worship by the written word, worship him in the spirit and in truth of the word, then God can use and in any individual. But when they take a notion to turn aside from after something else, then God cannot use that person any longer. So when God has a desire to use, because you know what? When God calls an individual into this army, as Brother Wade keeps telling us, we're not on a cruise ship, we're in a battleship. God didn't call us on no Club Med vacation. Right. This is battle. This is warfare. And there's one thing that I want to say tonight. When you see the condition that things are in, Brother Donnie and the different ones that have served in the military, when you go in the military, you don't go in there to just to stare at the walls. Right. You've got a job to do. Amen. And Brother Bram said, every believer's got a job. We've got a part to play. Amen. We've got something to do. Amen. You go find anybody that's been in the army, when you are the military, the Marines, whatever, you've got a job to do. Amen. They train you to do something. Amen. The first thing that when you go into places like the Marines, the first thing the Marines teach you is how to, that, they want you to realize that you are a fighting machine. You are a man of war. Right. Amen. You are a killing machine. Yep. That's your first job. Right. First thing you got to understand, when you come in here, it's no longer I or me. It's you as a group. You work together because there ain't no freelance going on. There ain't no lone rangers. Right. Everybody's working together. Right. And we all got a common goal. They get rid of all that other stuff because you've got to learn how to walk in step with everybody else. You've got a job to do. And the first thing you've got to do is realize, the first thing you got to do is understand that you're a person of war. You're a soldier. You're a warrior. Not a warrior. You're a warrior. We fight. We don't worry. God didn't ever gave us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of confusion. He didn't give us a spirit of worry. He gave us a spirit to fight, to believe the word and fight. Now, when he gives us that, when we become a soldier in the army of God, then the first thing he does is he teaches us how to battle. And the first thing you do is you realize you do everything the way the Marine Corps taught you. You go to bed when they tell you to, and you go to bed the way they teach you to do it. You get up the way they teach you to do it. Everything has to be done their way. Why? Because it's imprinted in your mind. So when everything that you do has a reputation, a repetition, everything has a way of doing it. So when you don't have to think about what you have to do, when you're called upon, you just act. So what did Jesus tell him? He said, in that day, he said, take no thought what you'll say. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will give you the words to say. So how do you get the words to say? Well, he just going to drop. No, you need to be in the word. You've got to sow the word in. So when you learn how to be a soldier, then you've got another job you've got to learn how to do. A lot of Marines, you know, they are combat infantrymen. They know how to get off of a ship, swim. They hit a beachhead and they're going to take it over. And they lock it down. And that's their job. And it doesn't matter. Some of them, they go in there and they can shoot a gun and they can dig a hole and all those type of things. But their other job is everything else. And some people, they're plumbers. There's people that are cooks. Some are medics. Whatever your job is, but there's another job. So you just don't sit around and look at the walls. There's something that you have to do. I was thinking about a man years ago that he served. He wanted to join during Vietnam. He thought, "Well, I'm gonna join and get ahead, so I don't have to go to Vietnam." He said, "I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna get in a branch of service. I'm gonna stay out of all of that. I'm gonna try to find something that's safe to do." And so he went to the Navy. He thought, "Hey, the Navy's a good, easy job. It's safe. I can handle this for a few years. I'll be okay." So he went in. He was looking at the list. He said, "I saw the thing where it said cook." He said, "Hey, I think I can do that. I think I'll be pretty safe." Had a recruiter come by and say, "Hey, man, you don't want to be no cook." He said, "I got a great job for you." He said, "Well, I'm listening." He said, "I want you to be a hospital corpsman." He said, "What's a hospital corpsman?" He said, "Well, it's a really neat job. You get to hang out with all these pretty nurses in the hospital. And then you get to pass out drugs and help a little bit in the hospital. And you help these people." He said, "Hey, I think I can handle that." So he signed up to be a hospital corpsman. Well, he got into his training and he got through that. They shipped him off to corpsman school. Guess what? He found out there ain't no such thing as that in the Navy. A hospital corpsman or a Navy corpsman is a Navy medic. And if you want to know where the Navy medics end up, they get attached to Marine Corps units. So he said, "I spent 3.5 years in the Navy attached to Marine Corps units." And he said, "The first thing I got done was got shipped to Vietnam." And he said, "I was the one that was over there bandaging up these guys that had been shot up and blown up and everything else and trying to patch them up." He said, the place that I didn't want to end up is where I ended up. So everybody just don't have some cushy job, but there's a job that you've got to do. And so when God has called you to a place, God just gives us a job to do. And whether it's preaching the gospel, playing an instrument, being a deacon, or cleaning the church, or whatever it is, or just coming to church and shining the light and saying amen to the gospel, then that's what your job is. Whatever your job is, then that's what your job is. Because it's we come here and we meet together and we recharge our batteries and we praise the Lord and we get energized and we make it through to the next service and we just feast on the good things of God. But when you walk out that door, you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready to battle. God didn't call us to this to be losers.
No.
God didn't call us to be failures.
Right.
Well, if God called me to this place, then you know what? Then if He's already done it, then I don't have to worry about whether He's going to do it or not. Why? Because if I have been sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of my redemption, then tell me what day is that going to be? What time is there going to be that I'm not going to be ready? That I don't have the blessings of God. Now, I don't have to accept them. Just as we was preaching on last time, I don't have to go to court. I can have the rights to go to court and have a judgment against the devil and have him kicked out. But if I don't exercise the rights, then it's not anything for me. I don't get any benefit of it. If he took all those stripes upon his back for my healing, and then I go and cry out to God, and will you heal me? Can you imagine that? It's so amazing. It's just like somebody running by holding out a wad of $100 bills trying to give them to you. And like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, if Terrence pulled out a bunch of $100 bills and had them, we know that won't happen, but
no, you
know, that'd be a miracle. But anyway, God works miracles. But anyway. You know, if somebody had that, you know, then, well, I don't know about that. But you know, God's not that way. So you don't trust what God said? You won't trust what God said? Well, it's like, well, you know, God healed me 2 or 3 years ago, but I don't know about today. And then you come to church and we say, well, we got a praise report. This one's been healed and that one's been healed and this one's been healed and that one's been healed. And God moved in this situation. He done all these great things. And then we sit there and go, well, I wonder if He'll do it for me.
Yeah, come on, baby. Come on, brother.
And it's like, well, the Bible says that if I would just trust Him and I would just try Him, He said He'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing I couldn't contain. But I don't know if that's true or not. If God said it, then why is it that we won't believe it? And people say, well, you know, I get in here, Brother Wade, and I get to looking at this stuff, and you know, sometimes my eyes cross. I get to reading this stuff, and I'm so confused on all this stuff. And I begin to read these things, and it looks like one way, and it looks like I can't figure it out. And well, we don't try to figure it out. But you know what? I've got a promise in the Bible where Brother Branham said, because he said, the Spirit of truth, he said, how be when He, the Spirit of truth, is going to lead you and guide you into all truth?
Right.
It ain't going to be a mystery.
Right.
It's going to be a revelation.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, a real true eagle will understand.
Right.
Well, then you know what? If I'm a real true eagle and He's opened this up to me, then guess what? Then I can understand it.
Amen.
He said, this, the Bible, this message can be understood by the most illiterate.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Well, praise God, I'm not there, but you know, I might be at the bottom somewhere, but I may not be that, but at least He put me in that class.
Amen. That's right.
You know, what we see people sometimes You wonder about people, and you know, because we allow the devil to talk to us and get into our minds. And you know, sometimes it's nice to understand, because you know, you have an understanding. God's able to touch you, and He's able to speak to you. And praise God, we all can read and write. And you know, we got through high school, most of us. We got through past the third grade or seventh grade or whatever it was. You know, I think sometimes when I can read, I can listen, I can understand all these things, I can look up words and all this kind of stuff. And I think about Brother Jill Forney, he couldn't even read. Couldn't read at all. Didn't know nothing. And the Lord come down and supernaturally touched him where he could start reading. That he could be able to study the Bible and read the Bible and study the message. Well, guess what? Y'all wasn't that far gone.
Amen.
Y'all were above that. And he worked the supernatural miracle in Brother Jules' life that he could do that. Well, you know what? Y'all don't have that. We didn't have that problem. Well, then if God was able, he was mindful of somebody that had faith, that put his confidence in God, that he could do that for him. Well, you know what? We should be able to get above that. Well, I don't know. Well, you know what? You never will until you actually come to the place where you actually realize, you know what? I'm not going to listen to what the devil has to say. I'm going to put my faith in what God says. So when we read the scripture then, and we pray about it, when we read what God says and we pray about it, then we realize, have the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm just going to hold this right. I don't understand this, but I know that the Holy Ghost will come. God is obligated. Brother Ram said that if you had a question, then he's obligated to put somebody behind the pulpit that can answer your question. And sometimes it's amazing because you're... I've got a little iPod beside the bed. I listen to Brother Branham at night. And it's pretty amazing because I woke up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear Brother Branham start preaching. And Brother Branham says stuff, and all of a sudden it's like catches my attention. Well, I pull out my phone because I've got the message on my phone. I start looking up the quote because I start reading what Brother Branham said. Because sometimes I hear and I think, did he actually say that? Because it catches your attention, and it's like, well, the Lord's speaking to you. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. And all of a sudden you go back and you start reading, and it's like, hey, I got to hold on to that one because that was a good nugget. Had done something for me, and it's just like he speaks to you. Well, you know, that's the whole thing, is when you listen or you read, then sometimes you've read the same thing over and over and over. And it hadn't done anything for you. You know, it may be the fifth time, the 500th time you've read it, and all of a sudden it just opens up and you see everything in a brand new, because and when you come to the place, you read the scripture and it's just like, well, that doesn't mean any, it just, I'm lost, confused. But you know, you just stay in the Word and wait till it opens. You know, I've had scriptures that I've seen that look so contrary or look so confusing, and all of a sudden, the next time you read them after the Lord opens them up to you, you will never ever read them the same way you did before. As Brother Ram talked about, he said, you know, he said, I packed a Baptist Bible. He said, I read them with Baptist glasses. And he said all that, but he said, when the Holy Spirit came and he opened up the Word, then it became a new book to him. Then he could never saw it the same way he saw it before. Then you don't ever have to see it the same way that you saw it before. You can never see it the same way. Now, this is from the Message. Hear ye him. Brother Bram says, Jesus never gathers his people just to be gathering. He said, Christ never did anything loosely. And I think that's the problem with the church today. We take too many things of God loosely. And now I perceive that this is a Pentecostal gathering. Listen, if you're my brothers and sisters, but the Pentecostal people are too loosely with the gifts that's in the church. And that's the reason God can't respect them. See, you just get them, let them go any old way. They should be governed and put in order. And then he continues on talking about people speaking in tongues in meetings and everything. And he says, so you understand, he said, then it's confusion how they're working. But he says the gift, he said the prophets, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. And he said, so we so misuse these things, just letting it go freelance. That's just as good as the devil would want it to. Well, that's just because if you get it out of order, that's just as bad as not using it at all. Because you've just created all this confusion. He said, that's right. He said, them gifts had been set in order and put in place that had been a revival sweep this land today that's never been exceeded. He said, we don't lack power. We lack knowledge. We lack faith. You got power. Any man that's born again has the whole heavens. The whole heavens is open to him. So the problem is that we don't lack power. He said we lack faith and we lack knowledge. And what struck me about that is, see, when you have all these gifts, God has given you a gift. So if God's called you into this place of being in a battle, being in an army, then God has given you a gift. Everybody has a gift to use. Whatever your gift is, then you need to find out what your gift is. And some people's problem is they don't know what their gift is, and they never try to seek an answer to come to a place where God shows them what their gift is, so they don't know how to operate. They don't know what they can do to help people. Why? Because they've never sat down and sought God about it. And so there's a gift of God that's in the body that's not being used. And then if we misuse our gifts and we don't operate them in the correct manner, then we realize, he said, that's worse than, you know, that's as good as the devil wants you to do, because then it all creates all this confusion.
Right.
He said, but we don't lack power. He said, we lack knowledge.
Right.
So you got to have faith to come up that stature of a perfect man, to come to the place where you get knowledge.
Right, brother.
Because there is knowledge in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But you've got to come to this place where you have knowledge, where it's sealed in.
Amen.
But if we want to be used of God, then that's what we've got to do. We've got power, but we've got to be able to use it.
Amen.
And God has more power, He has more gifts that He wants you to do. He has things He wants you to do. But the problem is, you've got to come to the place where He can use you.
Amen.
We've got to come to that place where we're able to be utilized of God to be the living instrumentality of Jesus Christ, to be able to be used in the way that God wants us to be used. Not just to be holding back. You know, it's just like people collect things and, you know, I worked with a guy one time and you know, he was a good guy. He was smart, but you know, the company bought him tools, and you know, he just wanted to see how long he could keep all his tools in plastic. He's like, well, you know, he said, I want to do is I want to turn them back in when I quit, in the same condition I got them in. Well, you ought to quit now then. But that's people's mentality.
Amen.
You know, it's just like collecting a bunch of porcelain whatnots and all kinds of stuff, knickknacks and all that kind of stuff. Got to build up these nice little shelves, put all this stuff on. What does it do? Collect dust. And that's okay. But what I'm saying is you know, the God don't give us gifts to hang them on the shelf for us to look at. God don't give us and use it because we're given things to be used. To be used of God, but also to utilize the things that we have. Because if God calls us to live in a place of heavenly places, then guess what? Then we live in heavenly places and we utilize the things that are there. But if we don't, then you know what? It doesn't do anybody any good.
Nope.
It's just like people that can sing. And you know, some people, they can sing, but you know what? It's like pulling teeth trying to get people to sing. But you know the people that are happy to get up and sing? You know what I'm talking about. And I ain't calling any names. But some folks can carry a tune in a bucket. But you know what? The Bible says to make a joyful noise. And you know what? Some people don't do, like Pop's always said, he said, we're going to be somewhere between a joyful noise and an awful racket. But you know what? Some people, they don't mind doing that. But some people, they can sing like a nightingale, and you'd have to put dynamite under them, blow it up for them to actually get them to move to sing for the Lord. You know, I've told so many young people that I've talked to that I see that, like our young people, and the ones that have these wonderful gifts and everything like that. I said, they get up here and they say, "Well, I make a mistake." Somebody, listen, there's 88 keys on that piano, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, there's 88 keys on that piano right there. She guesses. She plays the piano. She don't. Anyway, right? Somebody, somewhere along that number. I don't know what it is. Somebody knows. I don't. But I think that's how many. Okay, you know. I mean, you know. How many keys do you? How many those things you hit at a time, Sister Esther? 10, 11, 9, 4, 6. Whatever it is that you're hitting.
That's right.
Out of 88 and somebody's hitting all of a sudden, well, I hit the wrong one. How many people know that there was a wrong key hit? And if you mess up, just do like Sister Esther does. I'll fix everything. I love that. Maybe nobody else in this church does, but I Sarah and I, we were in the car and coming on Wednesday night. We hear her playing the piano sometimes, and man, she's just going. And I hear her rake that piano. Man, I tell him, I said, Sister Esther's playing the piano. I had some. I was like, if I don't do something for you, I think your spoons fell out of your bowl. So, just do it in for me. If nobody else likes it, Sister Esther, I like it. But let me tell you what, it does something for me. But I tell them, I said, listen, I said, you get up here and there's 88 keys and how many strings? You got 10 strings on the mandolin, right? Yeah. Okay, listen, there's 6 strings on the guitar. I know that much. I play that. I don't know what everybody else knows. But anyway, somebody will know. There's four on the violin. I know that much. But you know, I mean, how many notes you're playing a song? You know, how many in a song? How many you hit 200 notes, whatever? And yeah, how many people in here have a perfect pitch and understand how you hit the wrong note? I wouldn't. But some people, you know, they'll play a song, they'll get up here and play a song, and they can play for 4 minutes. They'll play a song for 4 minutes, and the only thing that they get out of that 4 minutes is I hit the wrong note. They don't get into the spirit of worship. They get out of that one note. And I tell kids, I say, listen, you're not playing for the audience. This is not a concert. I said, when you get up here and play, you're playing for God. You don't worry about whether you hit the wrong note or nothing. Then you learn, you know what, because a lot of y'all don't know how many mistakes I've made playing the guitar. Because most of you don't know how to play the guitar, so you wouldn't know if I made it or not. Richard sometimes knows when I make a mistake, but nobody else does.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's playing for the glory of the Lord. It's not trying to worry about whether we are. And it's good to practice. But you know what? When you get in the church, it's a spirit of worship. It's not worrying about trying to get every single note right. And that's good. But when you come to the house of God, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to glorify God? Because lots of times people will get, and they get into this thing, and you'll see them, they'll get up here. It's like, you know what? If you were in your house, if you were sitting in your house at the piano, and you started to play the piano, you've got zero pressure on you, and you began to play the songs, and all of a sudden you'll feel the presence of the Lord come, and you begin to enter into a spirit of worship in your own house, and the only person that's there is you and the Lord. And I said, you know what? That's the same idea. When you come to the house of God, when you sit down to play, it's not just to be going through the motions, but it's to bring a spirit of worship. And then when you realize, I'm glorifying God, that's what God wants to see. And I always tell young people, listen, don't, when you get up here, just play for the glory of God, because God's the only one that matters. Pray, because, you know, everything that we ought to do is to be pleasing unto the Lord. Not just trying to do things because, you know, we're trying to impress somebody. That doesn't do any good. So when you come up here, play. Play for the glory of the Lord. Sing for the glory of the Lord. Raise your hands. And if you can't hold up one, you know, both hands, just hold up one for a while. And then swap to the other one. And if your hands get tired, just go like this. We know you're tired. But it's okay. Raise your hand. If you just swing your arm, you can put it back down. Right? It's better than just sitting there looking like this. I understand some people come in and boy, I tell you what, them pews, they'll move on you. Because they're holding them down all the time. But you know, when we come to the house of God, you know, I see people, you know what? They'll get out and they can work. I got guys that I work with, friends, and I tell you what, they can get out and they can work in the yard. They can, I mean, sweat, just all kind of work. But you know what? They can't. Don't sit them down. They're useless. And it's like, it's so amazing when you work. I mean, you can do, but you can't come to the house of God and you can't raise your hands. You can't clap your hands. Let's pull them engines apart and do all kinds of stuff. But you know, we come, we ought to put a little bit of emphasis on what we're doing when we get here. But sometimes, you know, we don't realize when we come here, we're just back in and doing the same thing. No. We're meeting with God. He gave us His all. He gave us His best. Then we ought to give Him our best. We ought to give Him our all that we have. Now, Brother Bram was speaking here in the message, the leading of the Spirit. And he was speaking of the Magi's, and he said, and they watched the stars in every city, and not one of them ever saw it. Speaking to all the cities, that when they were going, everybody between there and Bethlehem, nobody saw that star. All the way to Jerusalem when they came to see Herod, when they got to see Herod. Nobody saw that. They come all that way. And the Magi's followed all the way from India, plumb into Palestine. Yep. Why didn't they see it? He said, the reason people can't see the glorious things of God today, they're not looking for them. Amen. That's the reason. It's only given to those who are looking for it. Amen. Those Magi had watched Balaam's prophecy when he said, there'll be a star rise out of Jacob. They knew it. And the way things were shaping up, it was time for it to happen. And you can tell, amen. He said, but listen here. Here it is. Listen. You can tell we're at the end of the road. Atomic bonds, cobalt, hydrogens, the nations is trembling, fussing, the great enemy hanging yonder with jet planes that could blow this nation to pieces. Yes, the whole world in 5 minutes' time. Everybody's nervous. Well, that was 1955. It's the same thing today in 2022. But why? But here those people, they saw what the prophecy, the Magi saw what the prophecy was. And Brother Bram said, how people didn't see the things of God is because they weren't looking for it. Oh, yeah. Right, but those people, Brother Bram said, they got up every single day and every night they studied the stars and had wrote down everything that had happened, all the changes, and knew where every star was supposed to be and what would take place. And they knew by the writings, by the prophecies, what was going to take place. So every time they got up there or looking, they were looking to see what was anomaly, what was something different. When they saw that take place and they saw that star rise up out of Jacob, then they knew that was a prophecy to be fulfilled, and they started heading that way. Amen. Because it caused a reaction, because it moved them, because they saw something. Well, the same way, if you had seen something that it doesn't move you, then you really didn't see something. It didn't change you. Because if you actually see something, then it's a life-changing experience. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you've got to move. But people don't see those things. Brother Bram is speaking. He's speaking here in the message, the uncertain, be certain of God. And he was speaking of Ahab. And he was talking about the condition that the world had gotten into. And
Right before here, Brother Brandon was speaking. He's speaking of coming to God and leaving God and realizing where you've come to and where you are today. And Brother Brandon's speaking, and he starts talking about the chaplain that come to the soldier. And he asked the soldier when he was in there, and he was laying dying on the ground. And the chaplain come to him, and he said, "Son," he said, "where did you leave God?" He began to talk to him about it, and he kept looking back. He said, "Son, you don't have a lot of time." He said, "Now's the time to understand where you've left God." He said, "You need to understand, where have you left God? Where was it?" And he said, at that moment, he began to say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Why? Because he left God as a child. And that's where he left God, but he had to go right back to that place to find God where he left him. And he said, as he was laying there dying, he began to pray. And he said, that's when he slipped off, because he had come back to the place. And he said, "You've got to know where you come to." And he begins to talk about this, the condition that we're in. And he begins to talk about Ahab. And he said all these things had long left Ahab. Why? Because Ahab had left God. Why? Because he got so wrapped up in his ancestral idolatry that they had got, the kings of Israel had gotten away from all of the precepts and all the laws of God that they had come to. And that's exactly what Ahab done, because he just walked in the way of his fathers. Now, he had done all these things, and he just said, "Well, I'm just doing what everybody else has done." And all of a sudden, then he marries Jezebel. And he gets all twisted up in that. And then he begins to talk about how Jezebel tried to put the come out there, was twisted before Jehu. Said, you know, after her husband was dead, she dressed herself and twisted out before Jehu, thought she could vamp the man of God, and said, "Throw her out the window." He said, "If we had more men like Jehu today, we'd have less Jezebels." But that was her nature, and she was a worshiper of idolatry, and she brought the whole nation to idolatry. And so has our modern trends today, falling away from the things of God, and has brought the world to one of the greatest idolatries that we have. That's idleness. Just idling away. Great is the iniquity of the people today, making plenty of money and think that God's blessing us because he's prospered us. That's no sign of God's blessing, not at all. So many people, you know, they get wrapped up in their own things, but they have this great idol, and it's idleness, where they don't do anything. Now, yeah, I go to work and I come home and I'm out on all these things, but you know what? They don't do anything for the house of God. They don't do anything for a spiritual walk with God. And great is this idolatry. Why? Because we're just keeping up with the Joneses and we're doing all these other things, but they're not doing anything to put anything toward having a spiritual walk with God. And so they've missed out on all these things because they've not continued on with what God has called them to. God's speaking to him. And then this is from the message, "Hear ye him," Brother Ram says. He said, speaking of the tutor, and he's speaking of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Now the tutor had to report to the father all that the child did, whether it was good or bad." The tutor had to give a correct report, and the father, seeing that it was his tutor, would be a little wishy-washy sort of a guy, and his son would be doing wrong. He'd be afraid before the father to say that his son was doing wrong. He had to be the right kind of tutor, a real, just, and honest man. He looked for that type of person to put over his child. And it's altogether a beautiful type of God, our Father, sending to us the church, the tutor, the raiser, the Holy Spirit. God found the best tutor that there was in heaven to put over his church, the Holy Spirit, not some intellectual being that's just got a lot of education, more than they got a lot of education to know how to control it. Yeah. And the church was not to be raised on intellectuals, but it was to be tutored, not by denomination, but it was to be tutored by the Holy Spirit. That's God's tutor. And what do you think that the tutor would do to come before the Father and have to tell him how his children was progressing? I sometimes wonder how the Holy Spirit must feel to go in the presence of God with the character of his children today, who call ourselves sons and daughters of God. How he must, like the prophet of old, blush in the presence of God. How the church has become so indignant about the things of God. How they go off on little tantrums and don't even notice the word of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit will tutor the children by the direction of the book of the Father. That's the word. God will raise his church by the Word, and the Holy Spirit will teach the church the Word, not the catechism, not the rules of the church, but the power of the Word of the living God. The Holy Spirit will give that to the church. Did not our blessed Lord say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? That's the thing the Holy Spirit will teach. And when the Holy Spirit teaches unadulterated holiness before the Lord, how do you think the Holy Spirit feels to bring the Word before the Father that we're selfish, that we're unconcerned? We'll stay home on prayer meeting nights to watch the old religious programs, uncensored with dirty jokes and everything, and then calling ourselves the Church of the Living God. What do you think he thinks tonight? Amen. Can you imagine the Holy Ghost having to look at people's lives and understand that he has to give an account to tell the Lord what the people are? Because, you know, when he said when they was a tutor, when a man had a son, he wanted to raise him up, he gave him the best kind of tutor. Well, he give us the best, the Holy Ghost, but he gave him to raise us. But you know what? You don't have to follow the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives you the way to go, but you know what? It's up to you to follow him. And you don't have to follow him. But you know what? Just remember, when you decide, hey, I'm not going to follow the Holy Ghost, or I'm going to do my own thing, or it's okay to do this or whatever, you know, we get a little bit lax on everything. Just remember, you're going to pay for it. There's always a payment that's got to be made. He said, listen, he said, you know, we're taught by the Word of God to be raised by the Word of God. And he said, how can the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he said, when he says that we're selfish and we're unconcerned. When we're selfish, why? Because, you know, the life of Christ is not a selfish life. You can't be selfish and live the life of Christ. Because when Christ came, then he said, I don't do anything. The Son can do nothing in himself except what he sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. Well, you know, that'd be kind of hard sometimes if we sat down and we started looking at the way we live our lives sometimes, the way we speak to our children, the way we speak to our wives, the way we speak to our boss, sometimes the way we react, the way people say things to us and say, how's that pleasing to the Lord? Would the Lord do that? Would that be the what? And then it's like, you know, some people, well, I just gonna do my little part. No, sometimes when God calls you to do more, people don't want to respond to that. Well, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I'm okay over here. No, God calls you, and sometimes he wants you to get up. He's like, well, why am I going that way? Well, it's just like Abraham. When God called Abraham up and said, listen, I want you to leave your family. He said, I want you to follow me, come out here, go to a place that you've never been before. I want to show you, take you to a place. He's like, well, I don't know where I'm going. Well, guess what? You just follow me because I'm going to lead you. And he started out walking, and all of a sudden he couldn't even follow the directions that God gave him to begin with, because he had to take Lot with him. And God didn't tell him to take Lot, told him to go himself. Right. You got to separate from your family. Right. And what happened? He went on down the road, and after so long, then he had a blow up with Lot, and all of a sudden all the herdsmen were fighting, and they had to split up. Why? Because it wasn't for Abraham to be there. Right. He had to separate from Lot. God calling him out his own way. So when God calls it, he's got a way for us to go. Sometimes, you know, we don't understand why we have to go certain ways, but that's what God has us to have faith. You got to have faith in what God's doing and not realizing that, you know, I used to drive me crazy when the boys were little, because, you know, they play 20 questions, and as soon as you get to 20 questions, they got 20 more questions they want you to answer. They're always questioning everything, and it's like, listen, it's not for you to know. Just do what you're told. When you'll have the answers when you get there. We got things to do besides us standing here answering all your questions. Just do what you're told. Because you know what? They want to have the answer before they do something. Well, God, sometimes we want God to give us the answer before we do something, and God's trying to tell us, you just need to walk by faith. Amen. You just need to walk forward. Don't have to keep asking questions. Why? Lord, I'm just going to put it in your hands and realize you're going to take control of it so I can just walk. Amen. I'm just going to continue to walk forward because that's the best thing for me to do. Brother Branham says, he said, now, he said, now, every person thinks of their children. This is from message, the way to have fellowship. He said, now, every person thinks of their children. He said, while they're under your wings, you watch them. But once out from under the wings, then the devil's got every little Oscar he can out there to associate with your children that's infidelic. I mean, the devilish and everything else. God help us. The juvenile delinquency here in New York, Chicago, and all these big cities. What's the papers is writing up, how they kill one another and everything. The little children, little boys, girls, killing and murdering, shooting, and so forth like that. If those poor little kiddies only realize that that's the devil, sure. He said, what brought on juvenile delinquency was parent delinquency. The parent failing to take care of their children. He said, continues on, he said, I remember the doctor told my wife, said, just let that kid squall. Said, it ain't going to hurt him. And if his grandma comes along to pick him up and take her hands off of him, he ought to be crib broke at 6 months. He says, now you know better than that. Sounds like a talking of a witch doctor instead of a real doctor. And then you know what it hatched out? It hatched out a bunch of neurotics and a bunch of gangsters. Listen, God gave you that child to love. I don't care how bad you spoil it, love it anyhow. That's right, love it. If you don't love it now, it'll grow up in a cold home and indifferent. It'll seek love somewhere else or something. It'll be out an outlight for somewhere. Mother, take that baby and give it fellowship and love now. Make it a part of you, which it is. Act like it. And hug it and kiss it and love it. Don't be too cold with the things of the world. God gave you that as a treasure. Raise it right. Amen. Notice, that's what's the matter. We got away from the things of God. You get away from nature, then you're out of the will of God. You know, many times because people, you know, they have all of these books and all these self-help books. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, people have spent millions of dollars buying books. And all these people, Dr. Spock and all these other ones that have written books, Dr. Dobson and everybody else, trying to teach you how to raise your kids. And everybody's got to write a book and put it out. And then it's doctor this and doctor that. And it's like, you know, and sometimes when you get down and you start studying what they got, Dr. Seuss is a better book than some of these doctor books. And Dr. Pepper is better than some of these books. But people put all of their life into these books that this is going to help them raise children. But the problem is God give us a book on how to raise children. But the problem is people don't realize that it's a book to raise children. That God give us a way to raise children. And he said, we get away from the things of God. He said, then we're out of the will of God. Why? Because we don't look where God tells us to look, where God has given us a way to raise kids. And somebody, you know, it's like all the time back, you know, it was always, well, you know, they didn't want mothers breastfeeding because they come up with formula and it was so much better. And when they were trying to sell all this, and then come to find out, you know what? What God made was better than what man made. Amazing how that God created something and a man tried to spend years trying to make something, trying to doctor something up to sell to people, and come to find out what God done in the beginning was the best. And people, well, that's shocking. But that's what people done. They're trying to find a better way to do something and not realize that God's already made the perfect way. Amen. God has the most perfect way, and you're not going to be able to find a better way than the way God made it. This is from Return and Jubilee. He said, Brother Bram says, today we have preachers, ethical, educated, fine scholars turned out, can stand up and never move, never mess up a hair, never sweat a drop, and just stand there and speak, and give the articles of the church and everything just so pretty for 15 minutes while you're sleeping, go on back home, and you call yourselves Pentecostals. He said, "Brother, what we need is we need an old rugged backwoods preacher that'll come with a pair of overalls on and hit the pulpit. Hallelujah. Anointed with the power of God. He won't preach for 5 minutes till the Spirit will take the church and it's gone the rest of the night up into the heavenlies." He said, "It's eagles. They won't peck around on the barnyard stuff. They'll go up into the heavenlies for their food." He said, "The sounding of the trumpet." Yes, sir. He said, "Return dispersed. But if you've sold your inheritance, if you sold out and done these things, what am I saying? Return back. If you joined up with some cult that tries to keep you away from the fellowship of other brethren, leave the thing. This is Jubilee." Amen. He said, "I feel religious. Return, return. This is Jubilee. Don't let it pass by. Remember, don't let it pass by." He said, "If you sold out, if you've went out in the world, if you've sinned, you know that you once had the experience. You went and joined up where you can't fellowship with the rest of them. You've done all these things. I don't care what you've done. If you're a son, you have a right to return now because it's Jubilee. It's Jubilee time. But if you've settled back into a wall somewhere, put your name down and anchored, got all chickenized, there isn't going to be much happen to you because you'll never hear it. You'll walk out and say, well, I guess it was all right. I've heard that before. See, go home, sleep it off, get up the next morning." He said, "But conviction, you don't sleep off. The word of God, you can't shake off. If you're an eagle, you've caught something." So let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you come to the place where you feel like, well, I've got away, and then some of these things that have been said tonight, you say, well, Lord, help me because that was speaking to me. Well, then let me tell you something. Then it's time for a Jubilee. And you realize I've gotten away from God. Well, let me tell you something. Now's the Jubilee. And Brother Branham says, return, return. Now's the time to return back. Wherever you are and you realize you're not where you need to be, you're not where I used to be, then come back. Now's the time. Why? Because you've heard the trumpet, the Jubilee trumpet tonight. You've heard the gospel trumpet tonight. Now's the time to come back. Amen. Now's the time to come back. Return. Amen. Let's return back. Let's have the musicians come. Let's come back where God has called us. If God's called you, if you've heard that, he's speaking. Here, Brother Rams says, he said, one day the old mammy was hunting. He was speaking to that eagle in the chicken yard. And there it was. And he said, realizing he was in the chicken yard, one day that old mammy hunting for him. Must have been the year of Jubilee for this little fella. The old mother come over and she screamed. It looked up and said, that sounds right. He heard something. She said, son, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Come out of it. Said, Mama, how do I get out? Said, just flop your wings. That's your God-given deliverance. You're born an eagle. You've got an inheritance. Come on up higher. Get out of that stuff. Return back. He made four or five flops. And when he did, he sat right down on a post in the yard, right in the middle of a Pentecostal organization. Say, perfect, exactly what he said. See, he was still in the chicken yard, right in the middle of the Pentecostal organization. He said, son, he said, you've got to jump higher than that, or I can't get you. Next jump, he lit on his mammy's wings and went on up into the heavenlies. That's the call of the day, brother. Return back. You're not chickens, you're an eagle. Return back, yes, sir. Now we know that it's true. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. Now we know that it's true. He was speaking of those eagles. Hearing that, if you've gotten away from it, but you know what? God's calling you back to your place. God has called you back. So, well, I don't know how to do it. Just flap your wings.
Come on.
Just set your wings, little eagle, and fly. You were born for the heavenlies. You weren't born for the valley. You were made for the sky. God wants us to go up a little higher than where we are today. This is from as the eagle stirs her nest, and he was speaking to. He said, "Remember the first time God ever spoke to you? Oh, glory. Going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so you just might as well get started now. Oh, my, when I first heard his voice, it spake like many waters. But, oh, my, by the brook and stream, where they're a rippling stream, so he can lay down, bathe, look up, my." He looked up and said, "What was that?" She come back over, said, "Honey, you're mine. You don't belong in that place anyhow." He said, "Come out from among them. Be ye separated, saith the Lord. Touch not their unclean thing, and I will be a God to you. I'll be God to you. You're a son. You'll be son and daughter to me." See, you don't belong to her. That old organization, see, the days of miracles pass your mind. Your ego, "Oh, that sounds good." He said, "I understand that kind of talk." Yes, sir. Why? He was an eagle to begin with. He was actually an eagle, just got in the wrong nest. That was all. I hope I don't hurt you, brethren. I'm just telling you the truth. That's right. Many of them today is in the wrong nest. Many times we get in the wrong nest. Why? Because we're not in the place that God wants us to be. But we hear the word and God's calling us out of that. Wherever you're at, God's calling you up. He said, "Oh, in the wrong nest, huh, mama? Is that what happened?" "Yeah. You're my mama?" "Yes, I'm both father and mother, sister and brother. I'm all in all to you." "That sounds good, mama. Now, mama, what must I do?" Said, "I tell you, honey, the way you got to do, you just got to jump." You got to jump. You got to jump and get your feet off the ground. And then just go to flapping them little wings of yours. Just flap them as hard as you can. You can rise because you're an eagle. See, you got long feathers. Fly, just jump off the ground and start flapping your wings real hard. I'll get you. He jumped up, this little eagle coming up, coming out of them denominations, and give a little flap, a great big flap 4 or 5 times and lit right on a barnyard post right in the middle of a Pentecostal denomination. He said, you can't denominate Pentecost and all that. All denominations. He said, "Mother, come by here," and said, "Mama, ain't I doing good? Look, there I am now, Mama." She said, "Sonny, you're going to have to jump higher than that or I can't get you." There she stooped down again. He throwed his little feet up in the air and began to flop his wings as hard as he could. And the first thing you know, he felt something being lifted up, up, up till he struck the Milky White Way. Amen. Then he could fly himself. After he got high enough, he could fly himself. Brother, that's what the matter with the church today. It's never raised up high enough just to get out of an organization or something another to find out whether it could fly or not. Yeah. How do you know you can't fly? Yeah. Use your wings. Amen. Hallelujah. Jump into it. Amen. Go to flapping your wings and find out Jehovah will catch you. I will bear you up on eagle's wings. Amen. Amen. And so I want to say to you tonight, how do you know that you can't fly? Have you jumped? Have you tried? Have you flapped your wings? Another thing is don't just try it a few times, but keep flapping your wings as hard as you can. And whatever the battle is, you just press on as hard as you can. Not just go halfway, but continue to press the battle. Why? Because God is wanting us to build up a house that He can be glorified in. And that's what we are to do. We are supposed to be the moving, living instrumentality of Jesus Christ. Set your wings and fly. Why? Because the wind of the Holy Spirit is moving, but are you going to set your wings and fly? I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I've had a moving tonight, and it stirred me. I want to see a moving that we've never seen before in this church. I want to see a moving of the Holy Spirit. I want to see things happen that's never happened before. I want to see the Word open up like it's never opened up before.
Amen.
Why? Because the world is getting in a worse condition. Everything's starting to fall apart. Everything's going down. But you know what? The Word of God is getting greater and greater and greater. God is continuing to call us up higher. God bless you tonight. Amen. Let's sing a song. Amen. You go.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story.
I want to take a minute. Brother Danny has something he wants to say to the church. So,
all right, just to give you a little update. I come up Sunday, requested prayer for my plant manager. Well, they had him in a coma, and, you know, and they brought him out of it. They didn't know what to expect, so he immediately recognized his family, people started interacting with him. So we're going to keep praying for that, you know. And also, when I come up here, I come after one prayer cloth, and Wade said, I'm going to give you two. Well, since then, I've learned that there's a supervisor there, and his wife has had open-heart surgery, and she's been in the hospital some 2 weeks now, complications. So, Wade, I think I know where the second prayer cloth's going to go. And then several months ago, I came up, requested prayer, and got a prayer cloth for a trucker buddy of mine. He's out in the Oklahoma, Arkansas area out there, and I don't see him all the time. And when he does come in, we don't get to talk all the time or every time. So I looked up, and here he come today. And he looked like he was, looked like he had something he just had to tell me. So we said our quick hellos, and he started talking. And the prayer request several months ago was for his sister-in-law. Had cancer, just, it was bad. And he told me today, he said, you tell your church, thank you. She's cancer-free.
Hey.
You know, I believe that these prayer cloths are more than some hocus-pocus or some good luck charm.
Hey, amen, brother.
If it is a good luck charm, it's the best one you're ever going to have.
Amen.
But anyway, amen. I thought I'd come up and share it with you. I told him I'd tell y'all.
Amen.
There it is.
Amen.
Amen.
This is my story. This is my song. Think about that. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Lost in his His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just all bow our heads and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just want to say that we love you, Lord. Lord, we appreciate you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, we just pray that we hold it and take it, Lord Jesus. Lord, that there'll be a great change in us. Lord, a change that the world can see. Lord, that all the old things have passed away, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever the battles are, Lord, we just continue to press the battle, Lord, realizing we already have the victory through you. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us. Father, we just pray that you watch over the ones as they travel tonight. Lord, just bless each one. Lord, we just pray for the services this weekend, Lord. Father, just be with each one, minister in a special way. Father, as we travel, Lord, just watch over and keep us. Lord, we just want to do what you have us to do, Lord, to fulfill your will, Lord. We just commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed. I